As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, here we go on a Thursday. It is Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you, and we have made it to draft day.
Huzzah!
Month and a half.
Those, like, poppers with, like, confetti in it.
You probably have some leftover from a kid's party or something. You could have brought them in.
Parents don't buy their kids the intentionally messy things. Those come from other people in your life. You don't, as a parent, buy your kid. I don't ever buy my kid slime. I don't buy my kid confetti. That comes from people who are like, not my house, not my problem.
How much confetti is coming out of those little tiny poppers anyway?
Too much, man.
You know, it can't be that bad.
Too much.
You're not bringing a whole box of those to the draft party tonight?
I don't like purchase glitter to be in that.
Well, that'd be a bad idea.
You know, not trying to make things a mess.
I'll say that just because Dusty's still over there. Mac is there. You got Drew. C-Dot is over there as well.
Who's at the
station? Like, Spec already sent the email to everybody, warning everybody to, you know, nobody to get drunk or anything tonight.
Did it say nobody get drunk, or is he stuck?
It did.
Okay.
It did. Out of the group that's sitting over there, is it Dusty, C-Dot, Mac? Who's most likely, Drew, who's most likely to get after it tonight?
Most likely to get drunk tonight?
Get after it. Spec already sent the email. You can't get drunk tonight, Drew. Drew, you cannot.
C-Dot says Cody, in regards to any of us. I don't know.
Plausible. I'm definitely in the top three.
I think it's Dusty.
Dusty says
maybe,
he's got to get up at 4. That's it. He does have to wake up at 4. It's a Thursday night. It is a Thursday night. All I'll say is there were some listeners by pick 15 last year that were definitely well into their drink count. That's
somebody,
for sure.
Somebody borderline shoved you to the ground.
Me?
Because they were like, they specifically went out of their way to say they did not want a picture of you. That's why I was saying, like,
yes,
metaphorically shoved you to the ground.
Gotcha. Yes. There was somebody that was a drunk jerk. That's true.
We talked about it on the show last year.
We did.
He was like, not you. You're like, okay. I mean, you could just say, you could just take the photo and delete it.
Yes. I don't want a photo with you either.
He's talking about getting up before, and I'm not saying there's not a difference, but I got up at 5:45 today.
Yeah, but
6.
He's got to be on by, you know, he's got to be awake and ready to roll and on the air.
Yeah, I mean, by the time I'm awake, it's like pack kids lunch. I mean, I'm like doing stuff. I'm not on the air, but I'm like actively in my morning. Mm-hmm. I don't like sit out on the porch with a cup of coffee for 45 minutes. I got to get up early too. I'm in the top three. You're the least likely. Gold refuses to drink around strangers.
That is not true.
Well, listeners.
That's also not true.
Well, in excess. In excess. So it's not Gold. He's pretty low on the list. I've never seen Drew have more than 2. He's not high on the list. Binkley? It's me or Dusty, probably. Let's just be honest. I don't have any
intention. Find out who it is tonight at the landing.
I like if this were like basing it on like draft pick stuff. Yeah, Dusty and I are like co-favorites for the number one overall pick, and then everyone else is like plus 1,000.
And we got two Royals games today leading up to it as well, with the rainout last night. Which can we? I know we're going to talk draft real quick.
Oh my god, what were they doing?
They could have got 5 innings in last night
at least.
It started at the game was going to start at 6:40. What the heck happened? Somebody, let's just be real. Somebody dropped the ball there.
Yeah,
the weather app lied to them.
I mean, are they not using like better weather machines than us? Do they not have like central command at MLB that looks at these things slightly differently than you and I? Because you could have just stepped outside yesterday and said, we can play baseball. Like that was it. You didn't have to do anything else or look at a radar. You could have played, I think, based on the way the Royals and Rockies.
5 or 6 innings.
Based on the way the Royals and Rockies are scoring runs, you might have gotten 7 in. You might have gotten the whole damn game practically by the time that thing finished. It was weird. Very weird.
There are a lot of people upset last night, though, that those that did make it out there. You're like, you get your ticket credit. Yeah, you get your parking credit. But if you were already spending money on concessions and stuff, obviously it's unfortunate. It happens, right? It's not the first time it's happened. But that I know there's people that were upset about that. But today, you're right. If you have a ticket to the first game today, you get it in for the second. It's single admission today. So imagine if you had the Crown Club tickets already slotted for today at 1 o'clock, you now get 7+ hours.
It's a good deal
of food and drink. That's a hell of a day.
That's a day. That I mean, pace yourself if that's you today in the Crown seats. But yeah, you're getting more than your money's worth, at least on that end. As somebody who got my money's worth the couple of times I've been for like a regularly slated game. Kudos to you if you're in there. But the draft is tonight.
Yeah.
The Chiefs will select at currently pick 31 tonight in the NFL draft. So let's go over the norm. Let's dream scenario. And then I want to know the things that would make you upset. Every year we go through the same list of like, here's the guys we definitely want. And here's the, positions we want. And here's the players. Cause I want to go through a couple of like, how would you feel if it went this way? From the players we want, I think we've made it pretty clear. You're interested in Walter Nolan. I'm interested in Derek Harmon.
James Pierce.
I'm sorry.
Man, I would,
Walter Nolan,
way,
on Drew's end.
I'm fine with Walter Nolan.
So would I.
Yeah. Walter Nolan be fine too. We're thinking defensive line, either edge or interior. If you made me be the GM for the Chiefs tonight, defensive line is where I want to go. And honestly, there are probably 4 or 5 names I would be accepting of. Do I have my favorites? Sure. But there are at least 4 or 5 names at pick 31 that I would not scoff at. I'd probably start wavering at about the Tyleek Williams level of 31. That's about the range of like, okay, but nobody after him as far as like the ranking orders go. But the truth is, you and I have said this, we might be way off on some of these rankings. Like, I don't know what's happening. Right. We might be way off on some of these rankings. And Derek Harmon's really picked 51.
Yeah, Ian Rapoport last night had a tweet that was discussing just the uncertainty on the back half of the first round. And, you could be sitting there tonight and someone gets picked 25th that everybody seemingly consensus was a second round pick. And then the guys that we all thought for sure were going in the 20s slide to the second round. Like, it happens every year, but it seems like the thought is that could happen even more this year. So, yes, out of the names, Pierce or Harmon or whoever, some of those guys could end up being second rounders and surprise a lot of people just based off of that. Look, you're right. James Pierce Jr. would be someone I would really, really like at 31. I'll tell you, though, like if you're asking dream scenario, as much as I say James Pierce Jr., because I don't think he'll be at 31, if Josh Simmons was there at 31, I actually think that should be viewed as a very, very successful pick.
I agree.
On the surface, based off of if you believe the health will work itself out, then they're getting a guy that's probably a top 15, top 10 pick as far as a left tackle in the draft. That probably is not happening, but that's, if you told me at 31 and they're sitting there and he's available, I would be thrilled.
I guess here's the other question is like tonight, I'm also okay if they trade out. Like, I'm not going to come in here on the show tomorrow upset if at pick 31, the Chiefs trade their pick to, I don't care, just name whichever team's trying to trade back in, the New York Giants, so that they can select Jackson Dart or Sanders or whoever it is they have in mind, because I actually don't think it's the worst strategy, although I'm a little bit torn. I'm not totally sure the Chiefs need 8 draft picks. Now, 3 are in the 7th round, so that's there. And they've got 4, let's say, premium draft picks in those first 3 rounds. I'm not sure they need to acquire more draft picks, but the fact that they are without any in the fifth and the sixth round, and the depth is really balanced there at the end of the first round, top of the second round, I'd be fine if they traded it out too. Trading up, boy, it better be for the right damn player. Because if they just start going like nuts in the draft again and play themselves up, it's definitely the most fun scenario. But there are, how many players would you like be actually willing to trade up for? We'll look at that a little bit later in the show. Yeah. It's not particularly high. So defensive line, pretty much, there are a bunch of names we'd all be fine with a defensive line. Let's just be honest. Like, we have our favorites. Pierce,
yeah.
Harmon, Nolan at pick 31. Let me ask you about a couple of the positions. And let's go over a couple of the positions that I don't think are off the table, depending on the player and how we would feel. You'd mentioned offensive tackle. If it's Simmons or Connerly, we're going to kind of understand the thought process behind it. We're going to have more questions, but we're going to understand the thought process. There was a report that they had a call with Travion Henderson. What if it's running back again in the first?
Yeah, I don't like it. And here's why. It's a very...
Because you like Henderson.
Yeah, it's not the player. And I know some people say, well, if you just like the player, why does it matter where he was drafted? Well, there are plenty of running back options in the draft this year. The thought is that the guys in the third round aren't much different from the guys in the fourth round. If they want to spend a second round pick on it, I'm totally fine. Whether it's my guy out of Tennessee, whether it's one of the running backs that you like as well, I want them to draft a running back. They're going to draft a running back. I think it would be a mistake to draft one at 31. I don't think the gap from the guy that might be available at 31, because unless you think what's his name, Hampton from North Carolina, falls to 31, then we're having maybe a little different conversation, but nobody believes that's going to happen. After that, Henderson, Judkins, the Caleb Johnson kid.
Samson.
I keep going. What's that?
Samson. You're
yeah. Samson. Yeah. Samson will for sure be there at 31. I'm just talking about there's a chance that the three names I mentioned prior could be actually taken in the first round as well, because I think three running backs are getting taken. My point is, I don't think there's much of a gap, you know. And yeah, Drew, I don't think Henderson and Samson, there's a huge crater between those two. Even
is it only because of the Clyde thing?
It's part of my thinking for sure, and that's not fair overall with the draft process. I'll give you that. It's definitely part of it. I don't think in general this is an organization that should be spending a first round pick on a running back where they're currently sitting, when they need some help on the defensive line. They need to find a long-term answer at left tackle. Now, if you're asking wide receiver versus running back, like let's say Luther Burden or Travion Henderson.
Sure.
What's your answer there?
Burden.
I think
fans would all say Burden.
I think Henderson.
Fans would all say Burden. I just don't think the wide receiver impact in year one is coming from Burden. I would
no
like,
the running back impact in year one would be immediate.
Could help me right away.
But I guess I'm playing both sides of the coin. I do think that they would have an impact, some impact in year one. Yeah, I would do Burden. I don't know that he's the right fit for the Chiefs. I'd be fine with taking him. I'm not talking about him the way the you know, some other fans would love it. What about safety? What if it's like Eamon Worry? That's the only one that I can think of that would fall in that range that you could maybe agree to, if that makes sense. Eamon Worry do anything for anybody?
I think it's a solid pick.
Can I make one passing argument for it, or at least I could talk myself into it by tomorrow if like we come in tomorrow and he does it, is that right now, and for the last like 5 years, their defensive identity has been Chris Jones. That's the guy. They just operate everything around Chris Jones. The corners have changed. The linebackers have changed. The safeties have changed. Chris Jones is what kind of drives the motion. That can only happen for so many more years. If Eamon Worry, and he's athletic enough that it's possible, if he is there, and it's unlikely at the pick, but like their Ed Reed or their Polamalu or their Bob Sanders of those eras, right? If everything runs through him, and I think you can do that at safety a little bit in the NFL now that people are playing back and you can just play him inside, outside, close to the line, I could maybe talk about it, right? I can maybe talk myself into it. I wouldn't love it. I'd hate guard. So for what it's worth, if it were safety or guard, safety. You and I have talked to guard a million times. That's the only one that would piss me off that I think is actually possible.
Guard doesn't make a whole lot of sense at all. It just doesn't. Trey Smith's going to eventually get a long-term deal at right guard. Your left guard battles Kingsley with Caliendo, and heck, even Hunter Norzad's mixed in there as well. I don't think you have to worry about guard being the pick in the first round. Safety, I just... It's weird because I don't think necessarily he would be a bad player for this team. It's just I don't think that, if we're talking about needs, while they have the luxury of a little bit of best player available at 31 versus some other teams.
You just don't think they much in the secondary because you're not super high on corner.
I feel pretty good about the secondary. I think they'll draft a corner at some point, but I feel good heading into the season with McDuffie and Fulton and Jalen Watson. I maybe I'm in the minority. I actually think that works, especially with the addition of Fulton. If they didn't sign Fulton, then I'd be telling you to draft a corner in round one.
I don't think it's bad, but I also I view it as they could use more there. And so I'm okay. I don't think I would spend a first round pick on corner. I don't think I'd spend a first round pick on safety. But if those positions are available in rounds second, third, fourth, I am, depending on the player and their evaluation of him, I am interested in those positions there.
I believe once they brought back Mike Edwards, even though it's a 1-year deal, that to me eliminated the chance of a first round pick at safety. As far as what I think.
It sounds like they like Jaden Hicks a lot. If they didn't draft Jaden Hicks at all last year, I feel like Eamon Wari would absolutely be in the cards.
Yeah, you're probably, and they didn't like Hicks. Yeah, I think you're probably, the only question I have is, like, you're right, they brought back Mike Edwards. But they have, so for the entire dynasty run, they have had a dude at safety. So unless Hicks is that, and they've typically gone in the free agency market, not in the draft for that guy. Eamon Wari kind of looks like a dude to me, like the kind of guy you would put in that position. That's the only reason I mention him. There's no other name that, like, interests me in that position. I would still be trepidatious about it, in truth. I wouldn't be, like, over the moon tomorrow. But I also, like, wouldn't be on the ledge about it. Like, it's one of those where I'm like, okay, I'll live my life. But yeah, linebacker, guard, running back, I can't decide. Because I want them to be an elite-level offense again. And the quickest path to doing that is all of these wide receivers stay healthy, and then you have, like, a monster at running back. And I just can't convince myself that the offensive line is good enough to just immediately take that leap.
Deep down, I want them to get after the quarterback. And Charles Amenihu is 1 year on his deal left. Karlaftis is due for a contract. Chris Jones will be a year older after this one, obviously. Mike Dana's, I think, technically got 2 years left, but really might be one. Felix hasn't developed to this point in time. So I think they need defensive line help. It's a very deep draft. So you might say, well, I can get that in the second round. So I wonder if they draft two defensive linemen. Honestly, one interior and one on the edge. But the winching thing will be, all right, I picked 29. I think the Commanders also are looking for an edge. So what does that do, right? Is, you know, we all know how this game is played. It could be pick 29 and the Chiefs are two away and they're thinking, all right, we're drafting an edge. Our guy's there. Commanders take him. They're like, well, we're not going to reach for a guy we don't really like it. So now we were going to draft edge. Now we will pivot to one of these other positions.
Can I say at pick 31, it's kind of hard for them to trade up because to those spots, to 26, typically, and I looked at the trade chart, typically in that spot, and we can look at it like firmer later for like if they went up higher, it'd actually be easier for them to go up higher. To go up 26, you know what that would normally cost you? Like a fifth. You know, the Chiefs don't have a fifth. They don't have a sixth. They would have to they'd be in the pick swap territory. Like, we're moving down in the third, but we're not losing a third. Or I just feel like it takes some more creative math on it. Not that they can't do it, but certainly could do that. Yeah.
913-586-7965. This text from the 660 says, running back has nothing to do with our offense being elite or not. That mindset makes no sense. Agree to disagree. I don't think it'll be the make or break, but they need to be more explosive offensively. And the Chiefs have even acknowledged they need to be more explosive at the running back position. Anytime you can get more explosiveness out of your offense, you're going to look to do it. And running back is an
quarterback, wide receiver, tight end, sure. But
yeah, from a positional value. Yeah. But being more explosive at running back can lead to a more explosive offense.
I agree.
Well, and it's not only the explosiveness, it's the pass pro side of it, which, again, Trayvon Henderson is maybe the best running back in the draft in regards to pass pro. Like, he's one of the best. And even if he's not running a route, him being able to be there and support Jalen Moore.
They sure as hell needed that last year.
Being able to support whoever. You know, having that guy where you can, he can't go solo against a Vince Wilfork type, but he can hold his own against a linebacker and give Mahomes that extra split second to throw that deep ball or to get the pass out.
We'll get into the Chiefs specifically again coming up in just a bit, but the news continues today to be all about what's going to happen with some of these quarterbacks and Shedeur Sanders.
He's the most interesting player in this draft tonight, probably.
Yeah. How far is he going to fall? I'll just tell you, sometimes the betting markets can give you a little bit of an insight on where people believe certain players are going to go. And 4 days ago, Shedeur Sanders over under to get selected was 8.5, meaning he was either going to be pick 9 or later on the over or 8 or earlier on the under. That number is now set at over under 21.5. Huge difference, huge swing.
Oh, of course, the Steelers. Right, where the Steelers pick at 21?
That's why the number is a number. But think about that. That's a few days ago. We were talking about could he go 9, and that was where the benchmark was set on the betting end. So that's a huge, huge shift. It's at this point, you're almost where nobody expects him to be drafted inside the top 10 anymore.
This is either the single greatest or one of the single greatest smoke screens of the last 10 years, Or what's happening is teams have fallen out of love with him. Because there's reports that, you know, like the Saints, like you said, don't want him. Or the other teams are hesitant. I will say some of the negative stuff, I still think goes back to what you said in the Colorado. And I'm more and more convinced all of these teams are going to regret not taking Sanders. Because the petty stuff I'm hearing coming out of these meetings, I heard Todd McShay, he was on a podcast yesterday, and he was talking about what he heard from three different NFL teams that all followed this same model, and what he heard was, is that he didn't care what these teams thought about him. I'm like, and? I'm sorry, does he have to care about, like, does he have to kiss your ass in order to take it? The film is there. He's a confident player. I don't need my quarterback to kiss my ass. I don't need them. I don't need to, like, make you like me. I understand that's a part of, like, being drafted, but that shouldn't be the reason why you don't draft someone, in my opinion. That has been his mentality this entire time. Like, you want to talk about his arm strength or some of these other things that could be a problem. That's fine. He's got real criticisms from a football.
And that's
the ball
what we've
too
been
long
saying.
Those things. But, like, they're holding the personal stuff driving his value down. Otherwise, right, he would be a top 10 pick.
And that's where it seems like it has gone, is more on the personal end with some of the stuff that's come out in the last 48 to 72 hours about him. Yeah, it feels like, what did he say that upset you? Or did you have a bad relationship with his father? Dion, like what happened? But if you want to just talk football in, and you're like, hey man, the guy, you know, doesn't do this well, those are fair criticisms. I'm not saying he's going to be a Hall of Famer and all pro by any means. I also don't think he's going to be one of the worst quarterbacks drafted in the last 5 years, which is kind of where, like, people are going off.
I think
it'll
be like a 15, like, you know, like a medium level starter in the NFL, if you made me predict right now.
Yeah. So, like, I think ultimately for him, the one thing, if you're looking for a positive, you would say is, hey, the guy doesn't turn the ball over. Yeah, his turnover worthy, you know, turnover worthy plays were as low as you can get of any quarterback.
Accurate.
But there's other questions, right? Like, there's other questions about him. There's a reason why he's not going to be a top five pick and be the first quarterback off the board. I still think, I don't know where you guys are at. Do you still believe he's the second quarterback off, or do you think Jackson Dart is going to end up being the second quarterback off the board?
I don't know. I'm too torn. Like, this is one of those ones. Like, we'll talk bets later. This is a do not bet, because, like, I'm just not sure enough what these teams think about Sanders from that perspective. I think there's like a 50-50 chance he's the second quarterback. I think it just depends on which team really loves Dart versus which of these teams have been negging Sanders as an effort to get him down to their pick, right? And there are some. Like, we know for a fact that the teams do this. Somebody is joining in on the let's trash Sanders camp because they actually do like him. Versus these other teams, which I think are being honest about not being interested in him as a quarterback prospect. I was surprised from the beginning. I don't think Cam Ward is a significantly better football prospect than Sanders. Like, I think they both have different flaws, but they definitely both have flaws. And so I'm surprised that there's this level of separation between the two. And I feel like if I were a team, I'd be like, God, Sanders at 21? Okay, sure.
I really wonder if it's the whole, like, how he presents himself. I think
he's confident slash arrogant, no doubt.
I think that is ultimately, because I think you're right, Cody. There really is not much separation. And honestly, if you look at it, Shador was under duress more, some of it his own doing, but he was under duress more than really any other quarterback, mm-hmm. and he still threw like 70% completion. Like, he was, in terms of accuracy,
the best
quarterback in college football.
I do think the Steelers are the most logical team. I think they'd trade up, maybe. I don't know. You'd always wait to 21.
I don't know if they're going to have to trade up anymore.
I know.
I thought,
maybe not. Is that where everyone thinks he's going, the Steelers?
A week or so ago, I would have thought the Steelers would have had to trade up. But if you buy, and this is where it's tough to figure out, like, are you buying the rumors, or are you selling the rumors? And what's real, what's fake? I think now they may not even have to trade up for him. I don't buy, though, that Sanders has fallen out of the first round. I still think we're getting...
You've seen that today in a couple mocks that come out today. They don't even have him at all in that first round.
That would be... I mean, by the way, if all of a sudden he slid to Friday, and we're sitting here tomorrow morning, and Sanders is still on the board...
Oh, the Giants should take
Giants should, and by the way, all of a sudden that pick becomes... like that becomes a very good pick
in the
second round.
I think you're sitting at 31, and Sanders is still there. The odds of the Chiefs trading out are significantly higher. Look, Dart, and Texline's missing Shuck, right? And his name keeps coming up.
Oh, the 26-year-old quarterback.
I mean, teams.
Yeah.
He is reportedly maybe the most pro-ready. I hope so. He's been in college like he's a damn doctor. He's about 30 years old. I hope he's the most pro-ready. Like, you know, it's always the same thing. I would never. Like, if I were a GM, if you were over the age of 26, you were off of my board at quarterback unless it's like the fourth round or later. Just pass. Like, I'm just not going to do it. Like, it's just an immediate no. But, like everybody operates a little bit different. This is a really difficult, like we said at the beginning of this, this is a really difficult draft to produce because we all agree there are like four elite talents. Let's include Cam Ward in this because most people kind of put him in there too. Hunter, Carter, Genty. If you're feeling nice, Graham. The end. That's it. Everyone else is a dude. Everyone else falls in the same heavy wash.
Yeah, again, it's a starter draft.
Predicting it's going to be very difficult.
Mm-hmm. It's a starter draft, not a star draft. Good news for the Chiefs. They probably were never getting a star at pick 31 right away, no, right? Their goal, with the picks they have and what Brett Veach has done well, drafting guys that can be starters for multiple years. The reason why the dynasty has extended the way it has, of course, Andy Reid and Mahomes, but it's because they have found starter after starter in the draft, and especially sometimes at non, and normally you're like, you got to find them at premium positions, but in a weird way, by having some of these guys at non-premium positions, you're not overspending in free agency for a linebacker. You're not overspending in free agency, you know, typically at some of these other positions, running back, because you're hopefully drafting the non-premium as well and finding starters. Trey Smith, obviously, is the prime example of that. Now, Nick Bolton, they ended up paying, but he's a homegrown player, right? They didn't overpay in free agency to bring a player in. That's the key. As much as I would love for them to go find the next stud edge rusher. I hope they do at pick 31.
Please.
I think we all do.
I hope they find TJ Watt at pick 31.
Right.
Yeah.
But in general, you know, they got, what, 8 picks across, including the 3 7th round picks that they have. If they find 3 guys that we're talking 2 years from now that have been starting already and they're part of this extension new era, if you will, after 2025, then that's a very successful draft. That's a very successful draft. That's what they've been able to do well. All right, coming up next, we'll obviously keep talking about what's going to happen tonight. Hope to see all of you at the landing. There's a few veterans that could get moved tonight or this weekend. We'll tell you who they are next. All right, just getting started here on a Thursday morning. It is draft day in Kansas City. We'll be talking draft throughout our show today. Short one, though, because the Royals do have a day game today. Vern's going to take over at noon. We'll hand it off to him for his on-deck show. 2 games coming your way today. A single admission doubleheader right here on 96.5 The Fan. And then later on this evening, Bink and Kristen O'Sara will take over for our draft coverage. Going to start a little bit later than we initially planned due to the doubleheader, but we'll have plenty of draft coverage this evening right here on your home for the Chiefs in KC Sports 96.5.
Yeah, we'll see you all at the landing tonight. Maybe the show will start a little bit later, but that's just more time to hang out with Bink. You know?
There you go.
More time to hang out with Bink. I am told he will be there, I'm sure, starting at like noon. Who knows? Bink will get there early. I wouldn't worry about that. You won't lose any time with the crew over there at the Character Concerns podcast, which is good. And of course, this is, you know, this is their biggest day of the year. You
their
do draft
Super
coverage
Bowl,
all
man.
Year, man. It's Binkley said it's as big as every sporting event, not named the Super Bowl, I think. I don't remember what his argument
he
was.
He said it's bigger than the Masters. Again, different way of looking at it. The Masters is a far more entertaining, I still think, sporting event. It's not even close.
Oh, God, yes.
Now, if you're just basing off of like TV ratings, well, the NFL's king. It's going to outrate just about anything. So if we're just arguing TV ratings, yes, it is bigger than the Masters. But if we're just talking about like a true sporting event in terms of actual entertainment factor the day of, it's the Masters. Now, we don't talk about the Masters for a month leading up. He is correct. We talk about the draft for 3 months.
Sure.
That's true. So I think it depends on which way we're looking at it.
Well, that's partially because, and I think sometimes that's overstated, because the NFL is king and there's no other NFL thing happening before that. There are other golf tournaments. There are other things now, maybe not as many. I guess it's a bit of their offseason.
The reason why it works for the NFL.
The NFL's king. That's why.
Every NFL city, every fan is thinking about what their team is going to do.
Yep.
The Masters, A, you may just not be a golf fan, but even within that, like you got to have an attachment to a golfer maybe. The draft, we're in Kansas City. We're talking about what they're going to do at 31. They're having the same conversation in Denver today, the same conversation in L.A., Jacksonville, Chicago, etc. And that's why it happens. All right, thinking about what could happen in some other markets, there's a few veterans that could be on the move today or throughout the weekend. We already mentioned the Kirk Cousins trade rumors yesterday. But Greg Rosenthal put out a list of what he's hearing, which are possible draft trades. He separated it by likely, maybe, and then kind of not crazy, and also question mark.
Total unknown.
Yeah.
Maybe.
So here were the players he listed as likely veterans that could get traded over the next couple of days that could prompt a draft trade. 1, Jalen Ramsey. We all know in Miami. That name's been rumored for a while. Miami's in a weird spot in his organization. Could definitely see Jalen Ramsey getting moved to a team that needs cornerback help, that wants to bring in a veteran, and is willing to take on some of that contract. Jaire Alexander, another veteran corner. And then Kirk Cousins. Those are the 3 that are most likely, he says. And I would, Kirk Cousins for sure.
I pretty much think all 3 of those are getting traded. Yes.
The maybe categories is where it starts to get a little more interesting.
This is where a little juicy.
George Pickens, Dallas Goedert, Michael Mayer, and then Will Levis, which, I mean, okay.
Pickens who's probably
trained,
right.
He's trained for Will Levis, but I hear him. If they draft Cam Ward, obviously they don't need Will Levis around.
George Pickens is in the last year of his deal, and they just brought in and paid a wide receiver to replace him. Doesn't he feel like a most likely to be traded out of the wide receiver category? Out of those four in the maybes.
Oh, I would rank it. Yes.
Pickens the most likely.
Then Goddard.
Will Levis,
sure.
Maybe.
I think Goddard's getting traded.
Why Goddard? I had not heard his name much
The thought is they might be able to draft a tight end this year. They also don't want, they don't want to pay him as part of it.
He's due for a big pay.
They're obviously allocating resources in other areas.
Okay. All right. So those are interesting. What are the not crazy?
They list as not crazy. Tyreek Hill. They're not saying these people aren't crazy. They're saying
no. They're
not
saying
crazy.
It's not crazy to think that Tyreek Hill might be traded.
Mark Andrews, Trey Hendrickson, Travis Etienne. Trey Hendrickson, he gets traded tonight. Drew, are you gonna be all right with us?
He still doesn't have a contract.
Yeah, I'm gonna be okay. I think the likelihood of him actually getting traded is very slim tonight.
He just said it's not crazy. Here's what I will say: is if they trade Trey Hendrickson, they might as well just pack up and quit this year.
Oh, in terms of them being able to contend for a Super Bowl, 100%.
Nobody on defense.
It would be.
I totally agree.
It would be a horror show on defense. It might be one of the league's worst.
I don't think they're trading
defenses.
They need to go all in on defense tonight and tomorrow.
If they actually traded Trey Hendrickson, they would have to draft edge, D line, edge again, to try to supplement. Well, what they would be losing.
I'd rather draft Travis Etienne's brother Trevor than trade for Travis. Why am I out here shopping Travis?
Just for our sake on this show, I hope somehow Cincinnati drafts an offensive player tonight. It would just prove our point even more that they truly don't think defense matters, and we'll be sitting here in November and everybody will feel sorry for Joey B. because he has no defense, and we'll say, well, you told him you wanted offense, and they keep just going all in on offense.
The only one that makes sense, like if they draft Kelvin Banks from Texas, like if he's available,
or whatever,
fine. Yeah. But anybody else, I am thumbs down. If Ashton Jeanty is available, do not pick him.
Can I offer the people we've mentioned so far, we've already talked about George Pickens and whether or not we would like or hate that trade. Gold, you'd hate it. I'd be fine with it.
Mm-hmm.
Just real quick on, I did go and look up Travis Etienne stats. If the Chiefs could get him for one of their sevens, or let's just say fourth. Let's say the fourth. That's the pick they've actually got.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say their final fourth round pick, pick 123, they could get Etienne. Is he not the kind of running back they were looking for? So last year he was not good. I'm not going to defend his year last year. The previous 2 years, he was 1,400 yards from scrimmage in both of the years. Receiving back, explosive, catches the ball out of the backfield. I mean...
I don't like it. Here's why.
I'm just asking. So I'm not saying we have to do it. Or intriguing. Like 25 years old. Wouldn't you be intrigued?
Intriguing player. Here's why I don't like it. He's on his final year of his contract. So you're going to pay him this year, okay? And you'd have Etienne with Kareem Hunt and Isaiah Pacheco and Elijah Mitchell and Carson Steele. Somebody would get cut at camp. Then at the end of the season, they would still be in the same spot as, and not a single running back outside of Carson Steele under contract.
I guess
so.
I would have done this if they didn't already sign an additional, like to your point, had they not already brought in an additional running back, this makes way. If they had not brought Kareem Hunt back,
mm-hmm.
this trade makes way more sense. But if they bring, since they brought Kareem Hunt back,
I would just rather draft a running back that would have control on and making no money for 4 years.
Etienne's not going to make money after this either. I wanted to toss it out there because like it is the style of running back.
He also has been hurt, hasn't he?
Just last year. He still played 15 games. Yeah. He was just bad.
Okay.
Last year, he was just bad. Like the 2 years before that, he was really good. Last year, the whole Jaguars team stuck.
I don't want to be paying. I think even this year, he'd be $6 million. I don't want to be paying a running back $6 million in this backfield. No thanks.
All right. In the total wild card category, who's that?
He lists Jameson Williams, who we discussed yesterday, wide receiver from Detroit. Kayvon Thibodeau, New York, depending on what they do.
Quick on a guy taking in the top five, man.
Do they draft Abdul Carter or not? Do they want to build up the defensive line? Breece Hall, the running back with the Jets. Thinking another running back. Kyle Pitts, your guy that people can't quit.
No, I quit him.
Oh, you finally did. Okay.
I told you.
All right.
We're done.
All right.
I'm not even going to suggest a trade for him.
Yeah.
I'm out on Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, we got to stop blaming every quarterback he's played with, and maybe he's just not the same player.
Allen Robinson's his ass out of the league, man. I'm done.
Then Anthony Richardson, because if they believe Jones is the starter or they draft another quarterback, Anthony Richardson, Daniel Jones, are they going to go into week one with both of them? I'm not sure.
Anthony Richardson was never going to be a Colt again. I think he actually could get traded. He's never going to be a Colt again the second he tapped his helmet and pulled himself out of that
game. The name that stands out to me from that list is Breece Hall. If you're Denver or the Chargers, why would you not give up 20 or 22 to get Breece Hall?
Why are you going to talk electric? But what, that guy's electric.
Someone would have to give me the argument. Why would the Jets want to move on from Breece Hall? He's going to turn 24 in May.
He makes no sense to trade.
He's really good.
He's not getting traded.
What's their thought that the what we've said here, which is running backs, there's plenty of them, and they can just get some. They're a team that's a long ways away from winning, and they just want to move on from them. They'll draft a running back. They think they
that
can
would have to be it.
Because otherwise, I don't get it.
If you need a running, if you're the Chargers or the Broncos, I would say we'll give you the pick right now.
The Giants.
Breece Hall had good.
No, I was gonna say the Giants, the Kayvon Thibodeau thing. They are legitimately. They win the award. If there was an award every year for a team most in the middle of nowhere, right? Like, not in the losing camp, not in the winning, just stuck in the abyss. Congratulations, the Giants. They got all their quarterbacks are in the abyss. So let's say they take, like you mentioned, like an elite level defensive player. Wouldn't you want him paired up with Thibodeau? So now you're going to trade him. So like, yeah. You're just back into the abyss. They're stuck in the no man's land of no man's land. The only player you like on their roster is Malik Nabers, and they got no one to throw him the ball.
Yeah, they're running backs, a lot of their defensive players. I don't mind Tracy. I think Tracy's pretty good.
He's fine, but again, stuck in no man's land. They are stuck in the most purgatory of purgatory out of any team in the entire league. Like, they feel like the most 8-9 team.
They've always been that way. Like, even with Eli, they were 8-9 and 9-8. Or 8-8. 9-7.
Those are an interesting list. I'm not going to, like, as you go through those, part of the question I ask myself is, if I were the Chiefs, would I trade for it? And most of them are no's. And then the other ones are like, who are the teams that should be interesting? Well, Kirk Cousins, you got to get that deal done before they pick at 21. Like, I think that deal has to happen sometime between now and 7 p.m. because I don't think the Steelers, and they might still take a quarterback, but you want them knowing their quarterback situation before they start trading up, giving up other draft picks. Because they're not going to want to give you a draft pick for Cousins if they need draft picks to trade up for Sanders or need draft picks to trade up for Dart. They're not going to do both, in my opinion. They'll just start Mason Rudolph and live their lives.
Yeah, I don't know if you have to know before the draft starts tonight. We see this happen occasionally. Like, it could be when the Giants are on the clock at 3. It could be when another team's on the clock at 15 or 21, and we see the trade for a veteran happen. I don't think it has to be done before 7, but it could be a situation where we see a veteran traded and a team, you know, gets a player for the pick moving back or whatever in the draft. I mean, there's all kinds of different rumors that are out there about who could get moved. I don't buy the rumor this morning about Kirk Cousins and the Giants. They already have Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston. Then they're going to bring in Kirk Cousins on top of that. I mean, what the hell would be going on there?
If you okay, so I have a question for you. If you could trade your second this year and like a fourth next year.
Who's second? Sorry.
Chiefs
second.
If the Chiefs traded their second and the fourth, would you, to get Breece Hall, would you do it?
No.
There's too many running backs.
I'm not trading
for running backs on this.
I'm giving up a second and a fourth for a running back.
I love Breece Hall.
Pass.
Yeah. Like, and that'll tell you something. Like, I think he's a tremendous player.
There's nothing you'd be able to give up that would be realistic.
You want to talk about explosion at running back? I mean, that's maximum, right? That's a guy who can break an 80-yard run any second. But
I think
it'd
be a big mistake to give up a second and fourth round pick for Breece Hall. Big mistake.
Yeah, I agree.
Deep running back draft. You know, I'm 2 years away from having to pay him.
Someone on the text line brought up the way that Andy utilizes running backs too. It doesn't make any sense to have a top tier running back anyways.
I don't know. They had Kareem Hunt when they used a running back. Great. This is the argument I always make. Yeah. Recently how they use running back. When they had Kareem Hunt in his rookie year, Drew, he was the leading rusher in the NFL. They ran way more when they had an elite level running back. They don't run a lot because the running backs aren't very good. You want to know the truth? The running backs are average. And so they don't run a lot with a bunch of average running backs. If they take a guy in this year's draft who's a stud, they'll run more. Like, I think it is relative to the running back that is in his system that goes with it.
All right, come up in 15 minutes. We'll go through a couple trade scenarios that do involve the Chiefs. We'll pull out the old trade calculator a little bit. Plus, we'll actually do our own mock draft finally. We've been going through all these other ones. We'll do one live on the air just for the Chiefs' first three rounds. That's coming up in about 30 minutes or so. But yesterday after the show, Dana Wright came in and she said, hey, I need one of you to come on my show. We're about to talk about what's going on in Jackson County.
I ended up spending an hour with him yesterday.
You ended up going on for an hour, and that's because, for those that didn't maybe see the news yesterday, there is an attempt to oust Frank White as the Jackson County executive. There are multiple Jackson County legislators that have been trying to do this. They have now asked Missouri Attorney General to investigate Frank White, and recall petition signatures were submitted yesterday. I'll let you handle this for the start because you actually interviewed with Dana Wright yesterday, one of the legislators that's involved in this, and we can get to the stadium impact. This is a sports show, so we'll talk more about the stadium impact than some of the other stuff, obviously.
So, I did talk to one of the councilmen who are on a part of this, but they referenced to the AG, like, hey, investigate this guy. It was a four-pronged thing. They said, Frank doesn't show up to the job. That was problem one. They just said he's never there. And that the person who represents him in these meetings is like, I don't know where he is. They claim he's too busy managing the Monarchs. But they just say he doesn't show up to job enough. They say he's not offering enough tax stuff or that he's supposed to legally through the state as it relates to the personal property taxes. And then there's a couple of other things that they don't think he's doing a very good job on. It's a four-pronged thing that they're saying. They are also simultaneously, there is a recall thing in an attempt to just get him kicked out that way. It's a full court press. They're trying multiple avenues to get Frank White out. I am convinced that part of this is because of the property tax stuff, him not working with the legislator, and all of these run-ins we have this. Doesn't this sound very similar to the way that it worked from the stadium end? And that he has become almost impossible to deal with on that as well? And I think Jackson County realizes one very important thing. That if the Royals and the Chiefs are going to choose their stadium site in the next 2.5 months, that it will not be in Jackson County if Frank White's in charge. Yeah. Now, the councilman said it'd be hard for anybody based on the current mess of Jackson County to get both the stadiums in there. But like, I think if Frank White's there, it can't happen.
Yeah. And then you had yesterday in a story from the Kansas City Star, Missouri's House Speaker was quoted as saying, I think more and more it's looking like Jackson County and Clay County are going to have to split the teams to make the deal work for both teams to stay in Missouri. That's the Speaker of the Missouri House saying that if you want to keep the Royals and Chiefs in Missouri, it's not going to be with them both in Jackson County. That means why there's maybe some momentum right now. That means the Royals probably in Clay County, and then the Chiefs in this scenario, if you want to keep them in Missouri, would stay at the Truman Sports Complex if they don't go to Kansas. This is still why I still believe splitting it one side of the state line, one on the other, is still my guess on what happens, Cody. But that's the Missouri Speaker of the House, who's heavily involved, obviously, with some of the financing conversations at a state level, telling you that, yeah, the one county supporting both teams thing, probably not happening anymore.
If we did a power ranking of the five least popular people in the city right now, is Frank White on it? Is Frank White one of the five least popular figures in the city right now?
100%.
He has a statue at the stadium.
Yeah, and he's ruined his legacy. That's unfortunately what's happened for him. With decisions he's made on his own and his situation he's created away from the sports stuff as well. So, yeah, no, of course he's on that list now.
I think they legitimately understand that if they want to keep, I think specifically this is about the Chiefs, but if they want to keep the Chiefs in Jackson County, they need Frank White not holding things up anymore. And the problem is what they're claiming in this request to the AG. And by the way, it was like, hey, man, how long will it take for you guys? They're like, we don't know.
Time. Who knows?
So the recall thing would take longer because, like, you have to get it funded and you have to like recap. There's like just a million things. It's like a long process. The AG thing, like, I mean, based on history, they had like an attorney general in St. Louis who got kicked out via, I don't know. It sounded like the thing from Braveheart. They're like talking prima nocta. I don't remember what the name of the Latin term to get the person tossed off of it is now. But essentially it was, here's the term that an AG who's kicked off of. It was a sheriff deputy here locally. So like a public figure who's been voted on. They can kick out. We're essentially, some of them move pretty quick, like inside of a week or two. Some took a little bit longer because you're essentially asking the AG to investigate this and fire them for cause. Kick them out, right? So I don't know if they'll get it done in time, but it is wild.
It's getting very interesting. Getting very, very interesting. Knowing that the timeline for the Royals, the latest timeline, at least I should say, is June or July, that they would like to make their decision and have an announcement ready. So if that's true, if that's actually the real timeline, although we've heard multiple over the last year and a half, 2+ years, then yeah, time is ticking for sure.
That's the other thing. It's like, do we believe the timeline this time? We've been given a few from the Royals. I think that's like clock's almost up. Like, I mean, clock's almost up on making the stadium decisions. How would you feel about a Jackson County? Like, let's say they built a new stadium at the old Kauffman site and the Royals were in Clay County. Can you live with that? Or would you prefer new stadium, legends, Royals, Clay County? Let's just say, either one in Jackson County or zero. What's your preference?
Well, so, you know, for the Chiefs, I think a new stadium is the only path. I don't believe in renovating Arrowhead.
That's why I said like a new stadium on the Jackson.
And I know a lot of people disagree with me on that. We've given our reasons over and over and over. But I would prefer the Chiefs getting a brand new stadium. I don't think renovating that stadium makes any sense. I understand the emotional attachment to the building, but you can't make emotional decisions only. So I would say if you told me they were building a new stadium, then I don't care if they stay in Jackson County. I feel like we've made it very clear since this whole thing started. You live on the Missouri side. I live on the Kansas side. My entire life, I've gone on the Missouri side to see pro sporting events. Would I want the Royals, would I want one of the teams on the Kansas side? It'd be great, sure. But I really, like, deep down, as long as they're staying in Kansas City, I truly don't really care. Like, I just, there are a lot of people that are acting like they'll never go to another game again if one goes to this state side of the state line or stays on this side of the state line. And, like, I'm not saying that there aren't some people that will hold to that. I still think a lot of people that say that are people that, frankly, haven't been to a Royals game in 5 or 10 years anyway.
If you're looking to see a new stadium, by the way, you can come with us on the Cody and Gold road trip. We're going to go see Hammonds Field, which I'm told is very nice. I've never been, to be honest. Saturday, May 3rd. If you'd like tickets, we got $10 tickets available at 96.5thefan.com. We already have 150 people scheduled to go on this trip to go watch Jack Caglione hit. He had a couple more hits last night. He's up to 300 and a 900 OPS in AAA. AA is where he is currently stationed for. So we're going to go watch him play baseball in Springfield Saturday, May 3rd. Just got to make it another week, and then we'll get to go watch Cags play some baseball.
Yeah, I'm excited to head down there. And yes, keep on hitting, you know, but let him keep hitting this well for at least another week and a half, please. May 4th, you want to call him up after May 3rd. It's May 4th. Go for it.
He can do Star Wars Day in AAA in Omaha for all that. Cool. Sounds good. That's fine. And I still feel pretty good about it. Just history is on this. And I heard JJ talk about it in the pregame the other day. And I don't know if I'd call it fully terse, but he was just like, he's got to play a while. Like the same notion. He told us between 100 and 500 at-bats. He's at about 80 at-bats for when he would maybe 100 or 500 is a big range. And I'm not saying that's not the range, before he would even get promoted to AAA, a step he had made very clear is a part of their plan. So I'm fully expecting to go watch Jack Caglione play Saturday, May 3rd in Springfield. 150 people have already purchased tickets. We're looking forward to a great time down there.
Cody, myself, Drew, Dusty, we're all heading down there as well. So hopefully we can hang out with you guys in a couple of days at this point, I guess. And obviously we hope to see you guys tonight at the Landing as well. In Liberty for our draft party. Some good news happened last night. I think we've discussed this around college football in particular, but it impacts every sporting event. I don't know. You guys, all three of us have YouTube TV?
I do.
Is that right?
I share with several family members. Yeah. The family one really cuts the price down.
So all three of us have YouTube TV, and we've talked about the multi-box and multi-view, which is a great feature, but there's some limitation, right? You can't customize it. And there's, for whatever reason, some games it lets you do it and view multiple games, and in others it doesn't. Well, I saw this from, I think it was Front Office Sports initially, that had the news where YouTube TV announced they will allow customers to build their own multi-view options, including both sports and non-sports content. So rather than getting that predetermined option, you'll be able to create your own version. So maybe there's even a time where you want a sporting event on one and you want the other box. Maybe there's some breaking news happening, I don't know, and you want to pick your favorite news platform on the other. Maybe that's something that you can do as well. But this should have happened a while ago, and I'm glad. I don't know if this will be ready for the fall. That's when it usually makes the most sense.
What the hell took so long? Like, sometimes this isn't even about, like, I don't always want the multi-view, but the thing I like about the multi-view, let's say I'm watching, like you said, I'm trying to keep an eye on, it doesn't matter, I'm keeping an eye on the weather, or I'm watching a rerun of Seinfeld. If I'm trying to keep an eye on a sporting event, let's say the NBA playoffs tonight, but I'm like, all right, it's the first quarter, I'm not getting all the way in yet, I'm not fully invested yet, I want to be able to flip between the two without having to guess whether there's commercials, giving me the full ability to do multi-view, this is what we had. I had this 20 years ago with Picture in Picture. I'm not totally sure why they took it away from me, and now they're pitching it to me like it's a new idea. I had this on a TV.
You get four, though, man.
I know, but like this already existed, so like I'm glad it's back. I'm not here to say no, but I also just like for, like, let's say baseball in, because right now it's like if I want to watch Red Zone, right? Well, I got to go there. But now on YouTube TV, you're telling me I could have Red Zone in the corner, and I could have the Royals going for a pennant. Or going for a playoff spot, playing an AL Central team, and I could have those personally chosen to split if I have them both on YouTube TV. They're not on that one, but maybe they're playing Fox that night, Big Fox. Yes, 100% in. This is like the layup decision, right? What's the most likely built multi-view for you? You're going to have more than Just sports on there? Or you think it's just a sports thing?
Oh, it'll be sports. So, mainly, it's going to be a college football thing on a Saturday, right? And you can be more specific with what games you have. That's probably what I'll use it most for. I don't know about you guys.
Yep, I'm the same way for college football in particular, because there's times where certain games don't have multi-viewed with others, and it's like, it happened multiple times with Kansas for whatever reason last year. I wanted to put the Kansas game on at the same time as the Missouri game, and they just wouldn't have them in the same multi-view box. So that being up there now is nice.
Yeah, it's incredibly obnoxious when you think about it. You're just like, okay, can I not? Like, I don't know why it wouldn't allow to build it from the beginning, but again, I'm not here to look a gift horse in the mouth. Thank you. Thank you, YouTube TV, please.
All right, up next, let's go through some trade scenarios as far as moving up from 31. What would it actually cost? A lot of people have said, hey, well, they should trade up to 21. We'll go through what it would actually take for the Chiefs to move up in the draft. Also, if they traded back, what they could get in return. And we'll do our actual show mock draft for the first time. We've been going through all the other mock drafts. We'll do a quick 3-round mock just for the Chiefs picks next.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And with the first round pick,
John Elway, Jim Kelly.
Welcome back to the
draft.
And with the first round
pick,
Dan Marino and Gruden.
NFL draft.
And with the first round
pick,
Deion Sanders.
Welcome back to the
NFL draft.
Good young players.
What the draft's all about.
Year in and year out.
Welcome back to the
draft.
Wide receivers, running back,
tackle,
quarterback.
Every year in the draft.
Welcome back to the
draft.
And with the first round.
I've never heard this. Ever. What's this from?
And with the first round pick,
Michael of mock songs I like, ba 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 basketball,
draft.
Better.
And with the first round pick,
Aaron Rodgers,
welcome back to the NFL draft.
All right.
Draft tonight.
The actual song is like 3 minutes long on YouTube. It's an NFL draft remix.
I can tell it's a remix. Yeah. I can definitely tell that. All right. I can get down with that a little bit.
No argument. Feels
it's
right.
It's draft day. Hope everybody is getting a little excited for what could happen. I know we got to wait a long time till the Chiefs actually do something, but maybe they trade up. Maybe they make us wait a little bit less this evening. So we'll do our own mock draft here coming up in about 8 minutes or so. But we get texts all the time. Hey, what happens if they trade up to this pick? What would it take to get this guy? So let's start with the scenario that's been presented the most. If the Chiefs were to not stay at 31 and go up to where the Vikings are at, which is pick 24, because the rumor is the Vikings would like to stockpile some more picks. Who wouldn't? But they really do. They only have four. So their pick, the way the draft stuff works, every team has a trade value chart. They all know which chart each team is using. They don't all use the same one, but they know what they know. The Chiefs know what chart the Vikings are using. For the sake of this conversation, we're on a site called Draft Tech. Each pick is assigned a point value. You have to obviously equal that point value to make the trade. So according to this chart, the Vikings pick is worth 750 points. The Chiefs pick at 31 is worth 600 points. We can do some basic math. The Chiefs have to come up with an extra 140 points to get to 24.
Which they could do with close to their third round pick. 120 there. So like you could say, maybe they take a little bit less on the value. Maybe you have to toss in a sixth next year or a fifth or fourth next year in order to complete it. So that's the question. James Pierce Jr. is available gold. At pick 24, they say, hey man, we'll let you do it. You give us the first, you give us that third round pick there at 96 or 95, and we're good to go. You do it? Are you willing to pull the trigger at that point? Because I feel like I don't know that I
want to. So as much as I want them to draft James Pierce Jr., that is with him being at 31. There's not many players I would want them to trade up for. You can talk me into Josh Simmons at 24 to trade up for. I don't think they need to trade up to go get a James Pierce Jr. I think he's going to be on the board at 31 if they want him. I really believe that. Now, a Walter Nolan, a Derek Harmon, maybe they have to trade up to get one. I really don't want them trading up to get a defensive line. Like, to me, the only player Simmons. I'm good with trading up for is Josh Simmons. That's
so
about it, man.
So if it's Simmons and you give up a third this year and let's call it a fifth next year, is that enough value in order for you to do it? Let's just say you trade up a little less far, and maybe it's, you're not trading with Baltimore, but you're trading with, the problem is Washington's the same
stuff. Maybe it's Detroit at 28.
Yeah, because like you could, 26, it's pretty much straight for straight. It's, you give up your third round pick at 95 and you're good. If it's Detroit, now what you're talking about is you can get close to trading it with your fourth round pick, but not enough because that's only 40 points in value. You get Kansas City's at 600, Detroit's at 660. So close. Maybe just your fourth round pick at 133 plus a fourth the following year or a fifth the following year because you don't have enough sevenths to make the math work. You're probably doing it. For Simmons, I probably do it. And that might be, as you said, for Walter Nolan, I probably do it. Once you start talking about this is where I'm asking or showing this now because that's about the earliest I would personally start having to trade up conversations. 26. At 26, I'm willing to pay the price for the fourth round pick in order to do it. That probably means, in my opinion, I'm trading down in the second or I'm trading down with one of my picks in the third and trying to recoup part of what I've lost. I'm going to maybe be in the fourth round again, be in the fifth round where I'm not now and trying to recoup that.
Yeah.
And getting in there. That's probably what I would do there.
You know, trading back is just really tough to do. That's all it is. I mean, it's just really tough to do. I think we say it year after year. The Chiefs have had pick 28 to 32 for 6+ years or whatever at this point. And a lot of times you're like, you know what? I'd be good with, you look at the board and you say, I'd be good with them trading back. And there's a chance that happens again tonight where we're saying, man, I just trade back. And they didn't. And it's not always because they didn't want to trade back. There has to be somebody that's willing to trade back into the first round. And what scenarios present that? So many times we assume that a team is willing to trade back into the first round to get a quarterback. And it just doesn't happen all that often. And so if it's not a quarterback, then is it someone that really loves a wide receiver that falls, Luther Burden or somebody? It has to be something like that for a quarterback or probably for a wide receiver. Very rarely, I would assume, is a team going to trade back into the first round to go get an offensive lineman. So I just usually not the case.
Very rare. So let's do this for a trade back. Let's talk New Orleans. This is the length of back they didn't want to go when they wouldn't trade Felix and Udike Uzama's pick. And it's because they're like, well, we don't want to go to 40. Remember, that was their whole thing. We don't want to go to 40. New Orleans is picking at 40. So, all right, here's the situation. You're picking at 31. New Orleans is offering you a trade. They will give you pick 40 so that they can move up and take Jackson Dart at 31. Let's just, whoever they're trading back, they didn't get the quarterback in the first round. They're coming back. They want your guy. In exchange for that, you will get pick 40, as I mentioned before. pick 93, but you're going to have to give them your fourth round pick, most likely based on the trade value chart, in order for this thing to make sense. So you'll get pick 93. You don't have a fourth round pick anymore, but you're picking at 40, 93, 95, 66. You're picking a lot, I guess, is kind of the spot where you're at in those first three rounds. Are you willing to do it? Are you willing to go that far? Are you willing to lose nine players worth of value for pick 93 and to give up your fourth?
Yeah, and so like somebody's mentioning other scenarios. You have the chart in front of you, but they said trade a third and a seventh for a second. I don't believe the math is going to math. Seventh round picks are worth 1 point, so you're not
for a second round pick. They're saying
I don't think it's going to be possible.
No, it would have to be.
It's not that you the seventh round picks are basically not worth anything. They're worth one point. They're worth a point. That's it.
So like no one's just going to let you trade up to the like.
Where in the second round?
But you can't. The value doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
To do that, you'd have to trade this year's third and next year's third and a seventh. Then, you can start adding up the math a little bit. No one's just going to let you move up tougher, for a seventh unless you're trying to move up a spot, two spots. Then you can start using those sevenths as like some leverage. This is where the Chiefs going to have a hard time moving up. Fifths, fourths, sixth, those get used all the time to move up a spot or two. The Chiefs have a single pick in the fourth round. This is where I feel like trading down, this is actually a better year for a gold. I'm not saying it's not hard or that I'm like, hey, how come you didn't find anybody to trade down with? But it is a better year for them, I think, the way their draft is set up. By the way, I'd make that deal with New Orleans. I'm willing to go nine picks down. There's enough value in this draft and those picks. Forget picking at 31. Instead, I'll pick it, like I just mentioned to you, I'll pick at 40, then I'll pick at 63, then I'll pick at 66, then I'll pick at 93, then I'll pick at 95. I feel like I could just get starters. I'm throwing numbers at the problem at that point. I'd make that trade down nine if New Orleans called. I don't know that they will. I'm just saying I'd make it.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
Is this the final one?
That is.
Pre-draft. We typically do McShay's look ahead,
Draft sounder. We've been doing it for the last month or so. This time around, we're not looking for a mock draft. We're just going to do a mock draft real quick.
Let's go.
On the show, all three of us, quick three rounds, only the Chiefs picks. Don't worry, we're not going to go through 90-plus picks. That would take way too long. We'd spend the rest of the show doing that.
That'd be kind of tough.
So we all have it pulled up. We're going to use for reference PFF.com. We all got three rounds selected. We all have Chiefs at 31 selected. Yep. I'm hitting enter draft. It's going to start.
I'm also entering the draft.
Click start draft. No trades allowed, by the way. Start draft. And so we're going to let this skip ahead and let's see who our options are. We get to 31 for the first round. We'll see who's available. Okay, for reference, Derek Harmon's already off the board on mine. All right. Shamar Stewart, all the way off the board. Marion Hampton, already off the board. Who is available? A bunch of guys we've talked about. I mean, I can take Walter Nolan available, Burton available, James Pierce Jr. available, Nick Scordon available, Josh Connerly Jr. available. For the sake of how I've said it, who I would take in this spot, I'm going to go James Pierce because that's who I would take in that spot.
Okay.
So I just selected James Pierce.
All right. So we'll talk second rounds here in a minute. Yep. I have my first round loaded up. Bleak, fellas.
Not good.
Bleak.
Dang.
Bleak. Harmon gone. Stewart gone. Grant. Burden. Eamon Worry. Nolan. Gone.
So who's left? Who's
my
left for
available
you?
Available picks are Malachi. Then I can take a Malachi Starks, but James Pierce Jr.
Okay. There he is.
Gray Zabel, who I've seen getting mocked a little bit more. He's been mocked to the Chiefs. Nick Scorton, Josh Connerly. It's like the tackles I don't like. It's not the defensive lineman I want. You're telling me I'm not allowed to trade back?
Nope.
This is a straight up trade back situation for me. I'm going to be honest with you. This is a straight up trade back for me. But I guess since you're high on him and I'm not anti him in this scenario, I guess I'm taking James Pierce
Jr.
I'd be tempted by Gray Zabel. Because like I was reading more about him yesterday, and I am kind of intrigued by him as
a
prospect.
You're attempting to take a guard in the first round.
I think he might be a tackle. There's some people who think he might play tackle, but I'm not doing it.
Right,
I'm not taking that's why I'm not taking Connerly. I'm not taking those guys.
So you're locking in James Pierce. All right, Drew, who's available in yours?
Mine is just like yours. Gold Burden's available. Pierce is available.
None of those guys were available. Mine. I was getting screwed.
It's the easiest pick possible. Walter Nolan is the guy who I think would fit perfectly. Walter Nolan, I'm taking.
Jealous.
All right, we'll do this in reverse order now. I got to go first, so we'll start with you, Cody or Drew, I guess. Again, round two now. Pick 31. Who's on the board? This is pick 63. Right.
Okay. Pick 63. So Amari Norman Lott is still available. Just took a D tackle, though, so I'm not going to take him. Alik Iomanor from Stanford, big play wide receiver. He's available. Dylan Sampson is available. Jalen Royals, Jared Ivey, Andrew Makuba. as well. A guy that was mocked recently, Isaiah Thomas, is available at corner. Man, this is tough because I already took a D. I didn't take an edge. I took an interior defensive lineman. Those are the only guys that are available like that. I would trade back from this as well.
I'm
going to do Dylan Sampson.
All right, Dylan Sampson. So that's your pick. And we can send these out here on social so you can see them. So once again, they have put me in just the absolute bind on this draft. I pray it doesn't go this way. The four picks, or five picks before the Chiefs would select in my draft. Ursary, gone. Caleb Johnson, Dylan Sampson, and Quinshon Judkins are legitimately the players selected right before. They're like, hey, what if every player, Cody, you would possibly think could be of interest to you just got swiped right in front of you? Even the wide receivers I kind of like aren't available. So here are the guys available to me at this pick. Omar Norman Lott, same thing. I can go D-tackle, which I might. I might. Jalen Royals, which you had previously mentioned at corner. Outside of that, it's like I'm not reaching on R.J. Harvey. I'm not reaching on Restrepo or Damian Martinez, even guys I like. I'm not reaching on any of those players. So, like, I think I'm kind of down to either going D-tackle or going, like, Alfred Collins. So I'm either going Alfred Collins or Norman Lott is the higher thought of prospect, so I'll take him. I'll take Omar Norman Lott. I guess I'm going defensive line with my first two picks. That's what I'm doing.
So we're in a similar spot, though. So same thing. Norman Lott's available. Drew, like you, the wide receiver at Stanford's available. Demetrius Knight, Caleb Johnson. I would probably also look to trade back at pick 63 here. Sampson's not available for me. Otherwise, you know, I would have taken him. He's not available for me on the board. Too early for a running back with the names that are left. This is one where I'm actually going to off the board of what we've talked a little bit with because I can't trade back. I'll go Elijah Arroyo, the tight end out of Miami, with pick 63.
I saw him too. Okay. Yeah, I was very tempted.
All right, so then we're up at...
Snake, it's your again. What do you got at 66?
Pick 66, obviously very similar names are still... Yeah. Are still on the board. This is where I'm going to go Alfred Collins, the defensive tackle. A-plus body type, you guys remember. Premium length. We'll go Alfred Collins at pick 66.
The Tennessee boys.
Texas.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Right.
If I hadn't already gone defensive line, Alfred Collins is still available for me at 66. So, yeah, I guess I'd consider it. But, I'm looking at the running backs. R.J. Harvey's on here. He's a guy who I have on my list. He's a guy I have on my list if the Chiefs can select him in the 90s. I don't want him at 66. Mm. So I'll take Jalen Royals. I'll take the Utah State wide receiver.
Okay.
So true. I'm in a rock and hard place. I think this is trade back as well because nothing's really changed.
We are
from
stuck. I do not like my selections here. I feel like I'm getting screwed.
I would love to take Jack Sawyer at 95, but I don't know if he's going to be available. So do I take him early? Is it a bit of a reach? Edge rusher is the range that I'm looking at. Also corner potentially there. So Azariah Thomas, Darian Porter from Iowa State. Jared Ivey, I think I'm going to take Darian Porter, corner from Iowa State, in this situation and hope that Jack Sawyer's available at 95.
Okay.
And for your final pick, your fourth, is that what
you... I'm on the final pick of the third round, pick 31, pick 95 overall. I don't know if it's my turn or not, but I'll just go real quick.
It's fine.
I'm going to go running back now. Now's where I'm going to go running back.
Yeah, we both waited too long. Same.
There's quite a few on the board. I'm going to go with the local product. I'm going to go DJ Giddens, pick 95 out of Kansas State.
This is really funny. I selected before because I didn't want to inform it. With the 95th pick overall, I also selected DJ Giddens. Okay. Of the fits remaining, I like his fit better than Devin Neal. I know people are kind of on the fence. RJ Harvey was gone. All the other running backs I liked were gone. I think he's the best fit remaining. PFF gave me a C-plus for it. But outside of that, I got an A for Pierce, an A-plus for Norman Lott, a B for Royals, and a C-plus. Overall, they gave me an A, but... Okay. Yeah, Pierce so Jr., Norman Lott. I went Tennessee, Jalen Royals, and then DJ Giddens.
Drew, who's your last pick that I'll go through the grade thing?
Edge rusher Ashton Jalot from Louisville. He played really well last year. Jack Sawyer, two picks before. I'm going to take Ashton Jalot. By the way, Bink is booing your pick, Gold, your last one. He said boo, Gold.
DJ Giddens? He doesn't like DJ Giddens? Cody, I had also DJ Giddens, too.
Booing both, I guess.
Yeah, he must be booing both of you.
So I went James Pierce, pick 31, A grade. Elijah Arroyo, tight end 63, B-. At 66, I went Alfred Collins, the defensive lineman, got a B, and then Giddens a C+. They only gave me a B+ overall.
Drew, I'm going to send you a screenshot of mine so you can send these out on social. You can let people choose who did the best out of our mock drafts. Give us the rundown of your four picks again,
so,
Drew.
I went Walter Nolan, that's an A+. Dylan Sampson at 63, a B. Darren Carter, they graded as a C+ at 66. Ashton July, B+ at 95. Overall grade, an A for the Chiefs.
It's tough. I'll be honest.
You're booing me, huh?
People were talking about Luther Burden. like every pick I went through, like the five or six names of guys that I'm interested in, 31, all gone. Then I got to pick 63. All five guys that I would have thought around that, gone.
Yeah,
like
tough.
All the running backs. Like Quinchon Judkins I would have taken there. And he got taken the pick before, Drew, based on the mock that I was stuck with. I didn't have a lot of options. I had to go down to the late third round pick. Unless I was going to take RJ Harvey, who I do like.
Based on how mine went, I think I would go a little bit differently. I would have picked, I know Nolan would have been tough to sacrifice, but in terms of positional value and what I think the Chiefs could do or should do, I'd have gone Nick Scorton, edge, then Omar Norman Lott, interior, and then go running back in the third rather than taking Sampson at
Yeah, I mean, I didn't love taking tight end at 63. I just, without being able to trade back, I wasn't going to take a running back. I didn't want Caleb Johnson, the running back at Iowa, with my second pick.
Someone texted in, Cody has the hot dog derby of drafts.
Like my hot dog derby or just a normal hot dog derby?
Damn.
It feels like you're calling it a train wreck if it's my personal performance in hot dog derbies, which, as you know, have gone poorly.
There you go. All right, we'll get that out on Twitter. We just texted that to you, Drew, as well.
I will post it here shortly.
All right, let's get to the trash of the day. All right, here we go. This one takes us to Orkin, as in the pest control company.
Oh, okay.
They came out with a list of the most termite-infested cities. Now, you own it. You're the only one on the show that owns a home.
I do own a home.
Have you had to deal with any like termite treatments yet at the home?
Not at the moment. I did have a termite inspection before I purchased my home.
Sure.
You know, just to make sure that there weren't problems. But no, I have not had termite issues to date. Although I do have a lot of decks. So yeah. I am ripe for
eating
termite
up,
problems,
man.
You know? I got 78 decks. So if you run a decking company and you'd like me to endorse you, let's talk. Let's talk. I'd love a one of those like WeatherTech systems, you know, where you get the like not real wood, but instead the like.
Yeah, those are what they put in new homes now.
Hell yeah. I'd love that.
All right. Number one city, most termites, Miami. Care to guess number two, three, or four? Termites, and then I'll tell you where Kansas City's at.
I'm thinking like water. Seattle?
Nope.
I was thinking like Pacific Northwest was my first. Maybe it's dry. California?
Well, city.
Sorry, L.A.?
Yeah, L.A.'s too.
Okay, nice. New York?
Nope.
I was thinking big bug.
Three is Tampa.
Okay.
Four is the nation's capital.
Okay.
Kansas City, Missouri was 42nd. 42nd most termite-infested city.
So I got to be worried about termites, you're saying. Out of how many total cities? 41 doesn't seem all that bad. That seems very middle of the road.
I don't know how many. I mean, out of every city, right? However many cities there are in the country, right?
Still in the top 50 then, so a little bit of a dangerous spot in there. What's your we've talked about your heights and other things. What's your bug fear? What's your concern? Like, you see a spider, do you have any reservations about approaching it first?
I definitely don't like seeing the spiders. I'm definitely the person that's grabbing a shoe.
You don't try to like usher it outside.
No, I'm grabbing the shoe or Windex to slow it down. Cause some of these spiders are fast. So if I have to spray a little Windex to slow it down, then I'll do it. If I have
to spray it with Windex to slow it down.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
I sometimes will like, so like we get like little, we get like bees, right? And bees are important, as Ned Yost has pointed out. So we might get like a bee here or there, and we'll, in the screen porch, and I'll just like get a cup and a piece of paper, and I'll just like usher them back out into the world. Go be free, bees. Right now we got bees all over the front deck because they like the wisteria. It's all like in bloom. Mm. There are like 15 bumblebees that are just like buzzing around the front of my deck right now.
Well, I told you about the wasp problem a couple years ago, the wasp nest on the patio. So that was an issue. But yeah, if you're telling me if it's 2 a.m, you got up to go to the bathroom, let's say it's 2 a.m, you go to the bathroom and there's a pretty good sized spider on the wall. You're at 2 a.m, going to usher that spider out? No, we're done. The spider's dead. It's over.
Yeah, man,
you're going outside at 2 a.m. to let the spider out of your house so it can come back in your house the next day?
Spiders, they get on the guillotine a little bit more because my wife hates them. And so, like, I don't always have the time to, like, sometimes she's in a panic, so I got to, like, do something about it.
In Kansas, we get these, you know, brown recluse.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I just don't think all that hard about it. They're just spiders. I just move them, you know? It is what it is. Bugs don't bother me that much. I'm sure it matters depending on the kids. Both my kids, because my wife hates them so much, both my kids don't like them very much either.
Someone says, fun fact, I live in L.A., had to get apartment fumigated last month. Got robbed by organized crime ring wearing gas masks during it. Wait,
what?
Like from the company that you had come out to fumigate, or just you?
Or you were? Or they like threw in tear gas into your house? Like what? What are you a part of the mafia? What the hell happened here?
Well, you explain that, please.
Yeah, I'm going to need more explanation on exactly what's taking place here.
Huh.
Somebody said I was sleeping in a tent at camp once and a daddy long leg crawled on my face. Yeah, if a bug hit my face, we're probably having a proper freak out. Outside of that, I don't really have much of an issue, you know?
Huh.
They broke in but didn't take anything, crowbarred the door open, just went through our stuff and didn't take anything. Totally ransacked the neighbors. You guys have never been like your house is broken into. You never had an apartment broken into?
No.
Gold?
No.
Drew,
no,
you ever had an apartment broken into? I had my house broken into just the one time.
But normally you don't have to break in. You've told us you just leave your doors unlocked.
I'm better about that now.
Yeah, you have to be.
I wish I had left it unlocked. They did so much damage to the door jamb. It's a huge pain in the ass to fix.
Yeah. That is the trash of the day.
They're going to rob me. Might as well make it, you know, so I don't have to break my stuff.
All right. If you guys didn't hear it, the mocks are posted. So you can go to our page on Twitter and you can grade whoever you think is best.
At TheFan965. Up next, we'll talk some more draft. The Dream first round, some of the other rumors that are out there, and then we'll hand things off to Vern for his On Deck show right here on 96.5.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Reminder, coming up in 25 minutes, we hand things off to Vern for his On Deck show as the Royals have two today, a doubleheader out at Kauffman Stadium as they will wrap up the series against the Rockies. A chance to get two wins in one day right here on 96.5, The Fan. But let's talk some Chiefs football as we continue to talk draft throughout the show today. We just went through our first and only mock draft that we do on Cody and Gold.
Yeah, we give you lots of other people's mock drafts, but we only do. Do we not have a single? Nobody took a single offensive lineman?
Nope.
Not a single one of us took a tackle? Damn.
First
I didn't like the picks. Ursary was gone. Simmons was gone. I could have taken Connerly.
Ursary was there for me with my first second round pick if I wanted.
Mine wasn't.
No, he was not. I'd have to remember going back. Remember, we couldn't trade either, but. I can't remember the exact scenario, but those are up on social media as well. We'll get to some of our favorite bets for the draft. Draft night is a, well, I won't say tonight's the best night. The draft as a whole is a very good event to bet on because the books don't have the same edge and the data that normally you would have for a given game where the Chiefs are a 7-point favorite. They've got data and everything. The draft, it's a lot of predicting. It's a lot of buying the rumors and selling the rumors, et cetera. So there's an opportunity. They don't have the same edge. It's why a lot of books are kind of nervous about putting up draft props. But a lot of these have settled in by the time we get to tonight, though. So we'll go over a couple that we actually like. But the dream first round, take the mock drafts out of it for a second. But I still think if you could totally convince me, the dream, though, is if Josh Simmons somehow is just sitting there at 31. I don't think anybody believes that's going to happen. But if you're asking for the dream as far as the Chiefs, they don't have to trade up. They don't have to do nothing. And Josh Simmons is just there at 31. I just don't know
if
that's realistic.
Or one of the like, two or three defensive linemen we would all really like. Derek Harmon, Walter Nolan. Like, in that category for different players, or you've mentioned Pierce.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I think that or trade down. I think there's a dream first round in which we do get the three quarterbacks. We do get the three running backs. You know, the guys who have been talked about, like Tet McMillan and these other wide receivers, don't fall. And so you get three or four wide receivers in the first round. And when you're sitting at 31, that's the team that goes to get the third quarterback. And you can get yourself down a few picks and trade out. Dream scenario for me is either those guys are available, the handful of guys we've all personally stated we would like with no need to trade up, or the ability to trade back because somebody actually still wants that quarterback. The only way I think the quarterback thing happens is if Sanders falls way down at this point. Does anybody think Jackson Dart's going to be available at 31? I don't. I think three quarterbacks are going in the first. I don't think Dart's going to be available at 31. I think you trade up before you got to that point. You trade up with Minnesota. You trade up with the Rams. I don't think you'd risk 31 in order to get that spot.
Yeah, I think three go. I don't know if it might take until one of the last two picks, but I think three quarterbacks go in the draft. But for the Chiefs, I think the biggest, like, just, man, I can't believe this happened, that this is perfect, is if they just don't even have to trade and Simmons is there. I just don't know if that's all that realistic. As far as the rest of the draft for other teams and everything, I mean, we were talking with Carrington about this before the show started. Like, the top 10, really intrigued by what happens with some of those picks 10 through 20, unless you're waiting to see a quarterback go. Like, I don't know about you guys. It doesn't feel like there's, maybe it'll be chaotic tonight. It doesn't feel as exciting pick 10 to 20 as maybe it did a year ago on paper.
No, it doesn't. And this is just, I think part of this is the draft's messy this year. There doesn't, normally it's like the first 15 or 20 picks gold or stars or like bona fide starters right away, and then we can kind of get into the, like, ooh, second tier exciting guys. I don't know that there's a fundamental difference between who I'm picking at 11 and who I'm picking at 31, so the guessing game is harder. Like, we'll talk about some of the picks that we like here in just a minute, Gold, but Walter Nolan is a name that Drew has mentioned he really likes, a lot of Chiefs fans mentioned. I kind of like him to go in the top 10. I'm not even sure he's going to be available at 31. And then there's these other players that, like, I've gotten in my head would be good at 31, and it's like, they might be at 51. And so, like, I'm really stuck between, it's hard to get up for just regular starters. Running back, I will say, is the one position that I am very excited to see who they take. Like, genuinely curious, very excited.
Yeah, but that might be tomorrow.
Lots of good choices, but that's probably not tonight. Yeah, unless they take Travion Henderson because they made a call. That would certainly be exciting to talk about tomorrow.
Oh, it'd be
whether
exciting.
Or not that'd be a good decision.
Make
or not.
Me a little nervous, but it would be exciting. It certainly would make training camp way more interesting. Heading up there, knowing that their first round pick was a skill position player. But man, I just, whether it's watching the Super Bowl, seeing how teams are obviously being built, and also noticing what guys are under contract for the Chiefs beyond this year, I just think they need to go defensive line. I really believe that. Chris Jones is getting a little older. Carl Loftus doesn't have a deal yet. Amini, who's on a one-year deal. Felix hasn't shown anything to this point, even if there was some improvement this past year. They showed enough to count on him, that's for sure. Mike Dan has been a really nice player, but he's probably not here in 2 years. So I think you need to start stockpiling that defensive line again with some depth, interior and on the edge. And so I mean, based off what we just did in our mock draft as well, obviously we all kind of agree they need defensive line help, which is why if we go
in, number one need, in my
opinion, we get into, you know, some of our favorite bets even for the draft tonight. One of them is still, like, just from a value play, like, I'm not gonna be stunned if they take an offensive lineman. We've discussed this, But one of my favorite bets that I kind of like, worth the sprinkle on, the Chiefs first position drafted. It doesn't have to be at 31. It can mean they trade up. It can mean we have to wait till Friday for it to happen. First player they take. Offensive lineman is minus 200. Defensive lineman, which includes edge, obviously, is plus 230. So my favorite bet is actually Chiefs first position drafted, defensive line and edge, plus 230. I mean,
I love that bet. I'm not to just say, I agree, but we've talked about this. It makes no sense to me that I'm getting that much better odds on a defensive player.
They might take an offensive lineman. That's fine. But like, you're not betting minus 230 anymore. So this is more of a value play, but also I think it's undervalued at this point. I think a lot of people outside of Kansas City just automatically assume they have to draft offensive line. We've gone through the scenarios in which it makes sense. Connerly or Simmons, they're at 31 or trade up. Defensive line seems like the players that they might like are way more likely to be there than in other positions. And then you can go further down the board. I don't think like wide receiver is like 20 to 1 or something. I just don't think they're
going
to do it. But if you believe they're taking Burton or something at 31, you can get 20 to 1 odds on
that.
If I'm doing that,
I'd be more in the like running back safety. Like if I'm going off board, I'd love him to take Burton, but it just feels like such a big risk. There's two that I like. One is that I told you, I can get 5-1 for Walter Nolan to go in the top 10. And for a draft that I don't think we know anything after pick 5, and if Mason Graham goes in the top 5, Nolan's going to become very tempting for teams very early on. And I feel like there's one player that we've been talking about in the 20s who's going in the top 10. I'll take the chance that it's the big defensive lineman and say that. So I like him. It's 5-1. It's a long shot for a reason. Yeah. And then I also like Luther Burden to go in the first to plus 190. I can't for the life of me convince myself that 32 teams will talk themselves out of Luther Burden being like, he is by physicality, he's essentially everything you'd want at a wide receiver. He's tall and fast and jumps really high and has long arms and was productive in college. And I'm like, I can't convince myself that 32 teams don't think he's a first round pick. Maybe 20 do, but somebody does. So I like him at plus 190 in the first.
So two that I like, Teteroa McMillan.
I can't figure him out. He's been all over the place,
whether it be top five or even all the way slipping into the teens. He's plus 290 to go top 10. I think, you know, the Panthers might try to get Bryce Young some help. Could the Jaguars do something? Drake May. I know that the Patriots have been in line for the offensive lineman or maybe Jenty, but maybe they get a wide receiver to help out Drake May. Again, plus 290 to go top 10. And then the Commanders to draft a defensive lineman in any way, shape, or form, DE tackle or edge rusher, is plus 170.
Same thing as it's the same scenario as the Chiefs.
To get plus money, it just makes too much sense to draft it because of their need is specifically defensive line in some way, shape, or form, Gold.
Yeah, that one's very similar to kind of the logic we were using on the Chiefs one. The only other two that I like, I've told you guys earlier in the week, one that's intriguing, worth a flyer, over 2.5 running backs. We know two are for sure going, right? Hampton and Jenty.
I believe so,
I could see some team late. Maybe it's the Chiefs. Hopefully not. But maybe it's the Chiefs taking a running back. All of a sudden, there's three. And then James Pierce, we've talked a ton about him, but to be a first-round pick, he's minus 195. At any, whether it's 31, 32, it doesn't matter. But just to be a first-round pick, those are three bets that I got a little sprinkle on tonight when we're watching the draft up at the landing. Got to make those bets before you get to the landing on the Missouri side there.
Somebody over on Twitch, Why Not, says they've got Will Johnson going in the top 10 at plus 1,400. Will Johnson going to go in the top 10?
Yeah, he might.
14-1.
I mean, 14-1, I kind of like it for that.
I do think,
though, he also has been anywhere from like 7 or 8 to the teens.
I do think maybe,
but
not
14-1, I kind of like it, you know?
Maybe not top 10, but Ian Rappaport was alluding to this, and it's that it happens every year, but maybe more than ever this year. There's going to be names that go, let's say, pick 23, pick 28, hell, 31. That were like, well, everybody said he was a second rounder. What are they doing? He was a second rounder. There's going to be names that get drafted in the second round. They're like, oh my gosh, what a steal. We all thought he was a first round pick. And it's just funny how draft narratives have been set based off of the draft experts and everything like that, where somebody that gets picked at 29 that a lot of mocks had as pick 53, it doesn't automatically mean it was a terrible reach, but that's how it will be presented, right?
Yeah.
But we're only basing that off of what? What Todd McShay said?
What you saw on
Pete Schrager's mock said? Yeah,
pretty much.
It's just kind of interesting how that happens.
Yeah. I mean, I don't disagree with that. And we go back to Kingsley.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Kingsley obviously wasn't a first round talent. Nobody in the league thought that because he went in the late 60s. So, like, in retrospect, it seemed like a steal at the time for where he went. But the league did not value him in that way. And so the way I view it is the same as you, right? And that's the case. By the way, I thought Burton was 6 foot. He's only 5'11". Yeah, fine. Tall enough. He's not 5'8". I thought he was 6 foot tall. Was that what he was listed at Missouri? Probably listed at 6'2" at Missouri.
Probably.
That's probably what it is. I don't think I looked at his combine. He's like 5'11" and whatever. The point is, he possesses pretty
Missouri
much
listed him
everything.
Missouri doesn't matter. They listed him at 5'11", but it doesn't matter.
That's funny. Significant.
Oh, actually, you know what? Updated 6 foot. They gave him 6 foot. They gave him 6 foot at Missouri's website.
That's the same height as Jamar Chase.
They gave him 6 foot on
Isn't
the Missouri
Jamar Chase
Tigers
like 6 foot
page.
Tall?
Ish, yeah.
Yeah. So same height as Jamar Chase. We don't think of Jamar Chase being short. He's not 5'7", I guess, is the point.
I hear you.
Like, he possesses.
He's not tiny. He's not Tyler Lockett.
Like, if you looked up, I'm not even kidding. If you looked up side by side Jamar Chase's combine stuff, it's the same stuff. Same height, same speed.
At the combine,
same, you know what I'm saying? Like, they are the same physical player.
At the combine, Luther Burton measured at 6 foot. So, not 5'11". He's 6 foot.
The average height of an adult male in the U.S. is like 5'8", right? I mean, he's practically a giant.
Oh, we're talking about professional athletes. I'm talking about a wide receiver in the NFL.
Particular position where there's guys who are 6'5" and 6'4".
Yeah. Look, yeah, I never was. I guess I didn't. When I say tall at wide receiver, I'm not thinking 6'5".
Well, and to your point still remains the same, Cody, is regardless of how tall Luther Burton is, he's able to high point of football, make electric plays. He's got speed. He's got quickness. He's got everything that you want in a wide receiver, essentially. He is a lot like Rashee Rice, though, which I think is where does he actually fit, you know, that question mark.
Where do you think he's going? Do you guys think he's going in the first round tonight?
I think he's going 12th.
12th? I think he's going in the first round.
Sorry, who?
Luther Burton.
Cowboys at 12.
Boy,
put him up with CeeDee
Lamb. Wild card.
Yee.
I thought they might take Tech. I mean, I kind of like them to take Tech McMillan.
If he goes 12th, it goes back to what people thought he was going to be preseason. Like, if we did this exercise in September, everybody thought he was a top 10 pick.
I'm like Matt Miller. I think he could be the best wide receiver in the class.
Yeah, before the season started, people believed he was going to be a top 10 pick. And you got to October, November, production wasn't there for a variety of reasons. Quarterback wasn't good. Quarterback got hurt.
That too.
As well. And then suddenly everybody's been like, well, now he's not.
It was mainly that.
Maybe now he's not a first rounder. So it is kind of weird how that shifted. But most people 6 months ago thought he was a first round talent. Kind of similar. I mean, James Pierce Jr. A lot of people thought the guy might have been a top 5, top 10 pick back in September. And now we're talking about him being on the board maybe at 31.
Same with Joshua Simmons.
If that's actually the case.
Wow. Pre-injury, Joshua Simmons. Like, this goes all back to the thing.
Was an injury. Yeah, it makes more sense.
Yeah. But it's also just like, I'm trying to get excited for this draft. Because part of me is like not excited for this draft because it doesn't feel like it's got a lot of exciting players. But the unknown part of it's going to get the juices flowing a little bit. The first guy who goes at 11 that I'm like, him? Or who? Because you and I just admitted our now bias on who is and isn't worthy in this spot is based on what seems to me to be even a higher rate than normal homogeny amongst the mocks. Everyone seems to have the same range consensus for all of these players. And you and I both know that is sure as hell not how it's working internally with these teams. So there's going to be a couple of names there in that 10 to 15 range that you're like, what? Like you said, Burton to the Cowboys. And you're like, I didn't realize he was going to go that high.
Mock draft database does a consensus, right? They put together 190, they compile 190 big boards, 1400 first round mock drafts, and they do the consensus. So here's where, if we're just doing the narrative stuff off of everybody, the narrative of where people think everybody's going. Cam Ward, number one, no surprise, obviously. Travis Hunter, two. Abdul Carter, three, to the Giants. Will Campbell to the Patriots. Mason Graham to the Jags. Ashton Jeanty to the Raiders at six. Membu, the tackle out of Mizzou, to the Jets at seven. Jalen Walker, 8. Tyler Warren, 9. Shador, they still have the consensus mocks, still have him going 10. This has him going to the Saints projection 9, but they list him consensus 10.
Sure.
Tet McMillan, 11, but they have the projection going to the Cowboys at 12, if that makes sense.
That's what I was thinking.
Then further down, we skip a little bit further skip further down. Burton, they do not have going in the first round consensus. Consensus for Burton is pick 36. For the Chiefs, the consensus for Pierce.
That's why you're getting plus money on it.
Consensus for Pierce is 31, but they project he goes 29, and they have the Josh Connerly Jr. as the overall projection at 31 to the Chiefs.
Well, what is Burton to go in the first round then?
That's what Cody was talking about. Plus one.
Plus 190. That's the bet I like. Plus 190
is the odds.
I can get 2-1 on Burton. And like, it just takes one. That's my whole point. He has the same, I just looked it up, he has borderline identical measurables and combine statistics to Ja'Marr Chase. There's not one team, there's not one, and I'm not saying he's Ja'Marr Chase. I'm not predicting that that's his career, but like, there's not one team that's going to look at those measurables and say, yeah, okay.
Yeah, at one point, he was thought of as a top five player. So, yeah.
All I need is one team to like him at 27. I guess part of that is I should look at this. The draft order right now, remind me. Let me pull this up. You don't need to look it up. Asking me for something that I can just easily Google.
The Houston Texans at 25, I think I saw a burden going to them.
I think the Texans are going to go offensive line. Their offensive line was so abysmal.
So let's look after 20. This is where I think burden would go. Teams who could use a wide receiver. Denver could use a wide receiver. Pittsburgh, because I think they might trade Pickens, could use a wide receiver. Chargers could absolutely use a wide receiver. I'm not saying they'll take one.
With Luther Burden.
Packers, maybe not. They might stick with what they got. The Vikings absolutely don't. Houston could use it, but again, I'm with you. I don't think that that's on their board. Rams absolutely don't need one. Baltimore kind of always needs one in perpetuity, but I don't think they'll be in that range. Unless Detroit trades Jameson Williams, I don't think they'll be in that range. Washington, kind of a wild card there. Buffalo still very much needs one. Kansas City still very much needs one. So, like, of the final 10 picks in the first round, I can make an argument for wide receiver for half. And so let's say even reduce it to that like only a couple of them might actually take one. I just need one to like Luther Burden. That doesn't seem crazy to me.
If Burden falls out of the first round, could Tennessee with their second pick?
Yeah.
All of a sudden they have Cam Moore. Give him a weapon to throw the ball to in Luther Burden at that point.
They've still got Tajay Spears at running back who's solid.
I also think that they would make sense in the, like we said, the running back game. Like the, let's go get our, you know, like.
But see, Tennessee can get a running back in the third. Well, they don't have a third round pick. I take that back. The Chiefs have their third round pick, but but they can.
They might take a running back with Tennessee's pick in the third round.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. And they might take a running back out of Tennessee. That'd be nice.
From the 785, no way Jenty gets past New England at four. Jags at five. Are we sure that's just the Derrick Henry one I made yesterday.
I will say the latest number on Jenty, over under 6.5, -6.5 as far as slot. Is -600 now. Like, everybody thinks he's going six or better. Six or better is the thought.
I think he's going to the Raiders. Are we sure that he actually is going to? Because I think New England could go in three different directions. They could go Jenty. They could go Will Campbell. They could go Tet McMillan at four.
Yeah.
The Jags could go Tet McMillan. They could go Jenty. They also could go Mason Graham.
About to find out if Pete Carroll was just trying to be funny at his press conference when he leaned into his GM and was like, be careful. We're talking about Jenty. Be careful. We're going to find out if he's on the board at six and they don't draft him. Means for whatever reason, they were just
full. That'd be kind of wild.
Actually,
I
think he's a great fit with the Raiders and they should be in win now mode. I don't actually think the Raiders are taking him. So
that offense to me,
I don't think Jenty's fallen to like 10. I would be very, now maybe the Raiders, don't,
I think
maybe
the
Raiders don't like him. Maybe they're full of it and they don't like him and somebody wants to trade up to the Raiders spot to get him. I guess. I mean, the Jets at seven are not taking Jenty.
Panthers, maybe.
They just drafted Jonathan Brooks last year.
Yeah. Saints.
Yeah.
They
but
have
like, where did they take him? Not in the first, right?
He's a third
top.
Wasn't he a second round pick or no?
I think he might've been second.
Jonathan Brooks. And they also gave, what's his name, a contract extension. The other running back there in Carolina.
Chuba Hubbard?
Yeah, they just gave him a deal. I don't know why they would draft a running back.
I mean, if you think of the Raiders, too, you have Jacoby Myers, Brock Bowers.
Second round pick, by the way.
Geno.
Okay.
Ashton Jenty. I mean, that offense is, it's not like electric, but it's pretty nice.
I just think solid.
Jenty with Brock Bowers and Geno Smith, you can at least talk yourself into that offense being improved.
Yeah, my whole thing with the Raiders is like, if you're not in win now mode, then why did you trade for Geno Smith? Why did you hire an 80-year-old coach? Like, if you're not in win now mode now, you might as well just like
trying to bring some respectability. Pete Carroll raising the floor from being dog.
Yeah, but
you
I think Jenty is like a raise the floor guy. You're immediately a viable offense if you've got Geno Smith and Ashton Jenty and Pete Carroll. Like, you're viable. And Brock Bowers, you're viable. Like, you can compete.
The Raiders are always that. Aren't the Raiders always that team though? That like when they drafted a Farrell from Clemson, it's like. They picked him too high. It just feels like the Raiders are a team that just pick guys too high for whatever reason. And maybe they obviously like them more than others, but it feels like they're that team that does that.
Yeah. There's also like there's always a team when they're on the clock. The Raiders are probably one of them where you're just like, man, what crazy thing's gonna happen? The Cowboys is always the one where everybody pays attention. Yeah. But he's like, all right, how's Jerry Jones gonna screw this thing up? Who is he just going to fall in love with from an athleticism standpoint and nothing else?
He's been fielding calls or been trying to.
Somehow they'll trade up to six and it'll be them that takes Ashton Jenty at six.
That would be interesting.
Well, certainly wouldn't be a boring team. CD.
And they desperately need a running back in the worst way.
Yeah, they haven't had a good running game in 2-3 years.
I thought they were going to hand it over to Tony Pollard after Elliott, and they went back to Elliott instead. It was so bad. Yeah. It just didn't work.
All right, guys, that's going to do it for us today. Hope to see you at the Landing in Liberty. We'll all be hanging out there this evening watching round one of the NFL draft. The Royals have two today, a single mission doubleheader.
Let's
win both. That's right. Vern's got his on-deck show. He's taking over next right here on 9.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
96.5 The Fan.